God bless you today. This morning I'm going to share a message that God spoke to my heart early on in the week, and I've been kind of feeding on it most of the week, and I hope that it will be a time of teaching as well as interaction with you. I pray that it will help you to understand a few things that maybe you don't understand. But I want to talk to you about a great gift today. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I still believe in it. I still believe it happens today. I know when I was a young boy, I went into another denomination because I was dating a preacher's daughter. And they began to tell me that everything about the apostles died with the apostles. And I'm like, look, they didn't die in the last days. These are the last days we're living in. And so I would throw out stuff that I had been taught, and they would say, well, I don't know if I can see it that way. I said, don't matter if you see it that way or not. It's in the Word of God. Acts chapter 1 today and verse 8. When you're there, say amen. All right. Y'all quick today. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Say that word with me today. Witnesses. Let's say it again. Witnesses. Unto both me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now go with me to my main text, Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You see, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just a New Testament thing. Joel said in the Old Testament, Joel 2 and 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. If there's one thing that I know after being raised in the church all of my life, God loves us to be involved. God doesn't like it when we just become spectators. He wants us to become participators. In other words, when the songs are being sung, he wants us to clap our hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's okay to shout once in a while. It's okay to say amen once in a while or preach on, preacher. You know, it's okay to get emotional when you're in the house of God. Amen. I tell you what, a lot of people are going to be in for a rude awakening when they get to heaven. There's some people that they like it real quiet. You know, you could hear a pin drop and all that stuff. But when you get to heaven, it's a place of eternal praise and worshiping of God. It's going to be loud in heaven. Amen. Think about it. It's going to be loud in heaven. I had a lady that used to play the organ at our church where I was associate pastor, and she said one day, she said, I don't know why y'all got to play so loud and so fast. I said, we're just getting geared up for when we get to heaven. Amen. It's going to be loud and it's going to be fast, and we're going to have a time in the Lord. And she said, I just don't get it. And I thought to myself, you probably never will. But, you know, the Holy Ghost is promised to all believers in these last days. How many of you really believe we're living in the last days, by the way? I believe that at any moment, Jesus Christ could descend from heaven and call us up out of this mess. Amen? I wasn't upset from the or hurt or broken like I've heard a lot of people say. I'll be honest with you, this week I got angry. I got mad. I got ticked off when the stupid governor of New York signed an abortion bill that even at birth they can abort a child. I want to tell you something. I don't care what you call that. You know what I call it? It's called murder. And the Bible also says in the Old Testament, woe unto them that shed innocent blood. You can't get any more innocent than the unborn or the newborn is that child that comes into this world. So guess what? I believe there's coming a day of judgment upon those that are doing all this stuff. But, you know, on the other hand, let me say a good thing. There are states now saying that they're signing into law. Three, I think, already did it this week. They're signing into law that when you hear the heartbeat, that's it. No more abortions. And I thought to myself, man, that's awesome. That's a good counterproductive measure against those that are doing what they're doing upstate New York. You see, we want to realize something today. All of us need to be a witness. All of us need to have the backbone in 2019 to stand up against the adversary, the devil. We need to stand up for what's right and speak against what's wrong. Somebody said, but aren't you afraid of being not being politically correct? You know what? I really could care less about being politically correct. I care about being spiritually correct and correct by thus saith the word of God. And the only way to do that, can I tell you how you're going to have to stand in 2019, is under divine anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? He said, I'm going to give this to you to be a witness of me. We're living in a time that people are telling us now, you better watch out what kind of hat you wear, what kind of shirt you wear. You don't want to have a testimony about being a Christian. The Christian is under attack today like never before. But guess what? We've still not suffered like saints of old have. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will help you during those times of suffering, during those times of challenge, to rise up to the occasion and stand up for God. Amen? It's time that we realize to be a candidate for this blessing, you got to realize something. You need to be born again. Amen? There's six steps that I'm going to give you. They're very simple. I'm going to slow down now. And I'm going to give them to you one at a time. Number one, you need to be saved. Unsaved people can't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. You got to be born again. It's the first criteria. Amen. Unsaved people shouldn't expect it. Amen. They shouldn't wonder if they're a candidate or not. They should know that I need to be a child of the Most High God. You need to be one that is blood-bought through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit which is with you shall be in you. In other words, he's telling me and he's telling you that, guess what? You need to be saved. Now, somebody said, can you explain this to me? And you know, for years I wrestled for a very simple illustration. This is the simplest I can make it. If I take a glass of water and I drink of that glass of water, I liken that unto my salvation. I've drank from the cup of Jesus. His blood has washed away my sins, and Jesus is living on the inside of me. But now when I go down to Wrightsville Beach and I jump in the ocean and I put my head under the water, guess what? I am immersed. Let's use a little bit better word here to help correlate it. I'm baptizing myself in the ocean. I'm plunging under. I'm going under. A lot of people say, well, you don't sprinkle at your church? No, we dunk you in the water when we baptize you. We immerse you so that you're fully washed by your Jesus' blood. And we're showing to the world a testimony as to what God is doing. So when I jump in that ocean and all of a sudden it overflows me, that's the way one fellow described it. He says, the Holy Ghost fits on you like a glove, a doctor's glove. You ever try to get surgical gloves on? I think the man that created them ought to have eternal punishment. They're the most aggravating things to get on your hands, especially when you got big old hands like that, you know? And you trying to put it in a small or a medium, I have to wear them extra large, you know? And then it's still not an easy task. But, you know, that's the way the Holy Ghost fits us. Amen. I can't get rid of him. Once he's on me, guess what? He's there. As long as I stay in tune and in harmony with God. So you need to understand that you must be a child of God to be a candidate for the Holy Ghost baptism. The second thing is, you need to realize the Holy Ghost comes to those who are sanctified. Uh-oh. We don't hear that word much anymore today. I think maybe we need to. That word sanctification means I've been set aside for his purpose, to sanctify, to put off the things of the world. You know, there was a time, you know, you're going to really think I'm old-fashioned. There was a time when you could tell who a Christian was. They walked different. They talked different. They looked different. Amen? But can I tell you something? Sanctification is not based on the length of your hair. If that is the case, we ain't got a sanctified woman in the house, according to old school. Amen. It's not how long the sleeves on my shirt are. I have a friend, dear friend, that he never wears short sleeve shirts. I told him one day, it's 105 degrees. I said, Brother Sonny, you need to wear some short sleeve shirts. He said, no, it's just my conviction. He never tried to push it off on me, and I always respected that and admired that about him. He said, this is my personal thing. I said, that's cool. Have all the personal things you want, but don't go against the Word of God to promote your personal thing. It's not in what color dress the women wear to church on Sunday. It's not whether or not they got short sleeves, long sleeves, or no sleeves. What sanctification does, it cleanses the heart after salvation to set you aside unto service. Whoa. Amen. Think about it. How many of you want to do something great for God? Then you need God to sanctify you. You need to ask God to sanctify you in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body. Wanting to serve God instead of serving the devil. So separating yourself from the carnality of the world. Amen. Today, too many of God's people want the Holy Ghost, but they want the world as well. The piano player, tuner, came this week, and I think it was Friday, and he was telling me, he said, I'm struggling. And you got to understand, how many of you know I talk a lot, right? This guy out-talks me. I told Sister Gwen, I said, as soon as I get him settled in the church, I'm coming and we're going. She called me 3 times. Are you coming home sometime today? You know, we got to talking about the Lord, and he said, I'm really struggling in my relationship and my walk with God. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He says, I don't understand people trying to live with 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world. And the whole time they're doing that, they're miserable. He said, and then they come to church, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church, and guess what? They're making the church miserable. He said, what is wrong with us today? I said, it's called sanctification. You need to get all in the church. Some people are like yo-yos. They're up and down with God all the time. And I've come to the conclusion the reason they are is because they haven't allowed God to sanctify their heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Amen. You need to be separated. Amen. To be a pastor, to be a man of God, I've got to be different. I have to talk different. I have to act different. I have to walk different. I have to go to different places than a lot of people. And they say, well, I couldn't do that. That's why God called me to preach and not you. Amen. But guess what? All of us are called unto sanctification. We're called to be separate. Bible says that no man can serve two masters. This is the problem with some in the church today. How many of you want to serve God? Okay, now you're really going to have to be honest. How many of you, it's a struggle? We got some honest people. Praise the Lord. You know why it's a struggle? You got another master that's trying to pull you away from your master, the Lord. The devil is constantly at work trying to get you to walk away from what God's called you to do. It's a very simple thing. The third thing is, If you want the Holy Ghost, you have to ask for it. In my text, verse 9 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. In other words, you've got to get to the point, I want the Holy Ghost and I'm not going to leave until I get it. How many of you remember when church a lot of times on Sunday night went till 10 and 11 o'clock at night? I remember those times. I grew up on that stuff. Amen. And a lot of times on 12:30, 1 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And what was it? People were seeking a deeper relationship with God. Point in case, remember a few weeks ago, we were in church till 10 minutes of 2. People were saved, people were sanctified, and people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And miracles took place after they left here. Can you imagine going out and all of a sudden somebody said, where you been? Man, it's 2 o'clock. You know what I liked about it? I didn't have to wait in line to eat anywhere. All the Baptists, Methodists, you know, Presbyterians, they were all out of the restaurants by then. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we need to get more hungry for God than we are the things of this world that it has to offer. Think about it. God is going to give you the desires of your heart. If you're saved, if you're sanctified, your desire should be to get deeper in God. Some people, though, and I've seen this, and I would say this to Ashton and Brother Tommy, as they go into ministry more fluent as time goes on, there will be people that seek the Holy Ghost, and then once they get it, they ain't worth nothing. I ain't figured that out yet. Because my Bible tells me once I receive it, then guess what? I'm called to service. God's not going to give you the Holy Ghost just to let you speak in tongues. Case in point. It's not going to happen. If all you want to do is shout and say, I've got it now, I've arrived, you ain't got where God wants you to be. God wants us to grow deeper in Him every single day we live. Amen. So what you must do is realize you've got to ask Him for it. There's an old saying that I heard ever since I was a child. Be careful of what you ask for. One time I was praying and I asked God for more faith. Oh, what a mistake. Because guess what came? Trials and tribulation. What did it do? It built my faith. Be careful what you ask for. I had a friend one time. He asked for a wife, and he got an ugly one. I said, you should have asked more specifically, dude. He said, but she cooks great. She keeps up the house and everything. Couldn't ask for a better wife. She just ain't much on looks. I said, well, good. Then you ain't got to worry about her running off on you either. You know, we joked about that for years. But you know what I'm trying to say is be careful what you ask for. If you're not serious about serving God, you don't need the baptism. Amen. If you're serious about serving God, then you need the baptism to help your witness. Does that make sense? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay. So hopefully I ain't said nothing that offends you, but if it did, we could talk about it. Understand something. You need the baptism today more than you've ever needed it before. The attacks against those that love God are coming. And can I tell you something? We ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen anything yet. They're telling us now that there are 15 genders that need to be talked about in school. I'd like to give them an educated thing. Number one, there are two genders. God made them male and female. All the others don't exist. They're just a product of man's ungodly imagination. Okay, two genders. And guess what? Once you're one, you can't change the other. Your DNA still says if you were a man that became a woman, guess what? You're still a man because your DNA doesn't change. Uh-oh. But can I tell you what? Our spiritual DNA can change. I was born into sin. I was a sinner. But one day I heard the call of Christ on my life. And I found Him as my Savior. Guess what? My DNA changed from ungodly to godly. From unrighteousness to righteous. I'm here to tell you, when you get saved and you get sanctified and set apart, your spiritual DNA has a new framework. The fourth thing is you got to realize the Holy Ghost is given to those that believe. It says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And guess what? It says you might get them. Did it say that? Did it say if he feels like giving it to you? No, it says you shall receive them. In other words, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The problem with the church age of today is people are no longer seeking God like they used to. How many of you remember when you got saved? Were you there every time the doors were open after that? Yeah. You wanted to be in revival. You wanted to be in church. You wanted to be among the saints of God. But when you quit doing that, guess what? You begin to walk away from God. You begin to distance yourself from God. I've had people tell me they'll say they're saved, they're on their way to heaven, but they don't have to go to church. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. I long to see Sunday come. I long for Wednesday night. I enjoy Bible study. We're learning some cool stuff about Abraham. And so I enjoy that. I enjoy when we get together on Sunday night. You know, tonight we're going bowling. We're going to do something different. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of food. And, you know, we're just going to enjoy one another's fellowship. But you see, I need you. And guess what? You might not believe it. You need the church. The church. This is what disturbs me when somebody says, I don't have to go to church to be saved. Do you honestly know what the church is? Anybody got a clue what the church is? Is it this building? No. It's the people. We make up the church. So when somebody tells you they don't need the church, guess what they're telling you? I don't need you. That's pure pride speaking. That's a spiteful, arrogant philosophy to have. And I'm going to tell you, one day, the amazing thing, Brother Tommy, those that tell me that junk, when they're in the ambulance going to the hospital, guess what they tell their spouse? Call the preacher. Honest to goodness, they do. Hey, man, make sure he's at the hospital when I get there. I'll give you 40 minutes because it takes you that long to get checked in and processed, and then they'll let me go see you. So don't get all upset. But it's amazing to me how people say, I don't need the church. But when calamity comes their way, when crisis comes their way, guess what? They're crying out, oh, nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Nobody comes to see me. You just don't get it. Look to your neighbor and say, hey, I just discovered something. I need you. Amen. Brother Billy calls me sometimes. I need to get that call. Wade will call me. How's my pastor? And I'm thinking, why does a young guy still call his pastor? He said, because I think you need to know we love you. That means a lot to me. It means a lot. Amen. And when young people tell me, you know, I made a statement one day. When I feel like I'm no longer relevant and can no longer reach the masses, then I'm going to retire. And one young man came up to me and he said, Brother Gwynn, you're relevant because you preach truth. You see, what we need in this day is not a watered-down gospel. We need a gospel that still knows what it means to be born again. We need a gospel that knows that, hey, I can't live in the world and the church and be happy. You know why some of you never smile? Because you ain't sold out yet. Yeah. What does it mean to be sold out? It's very simple. Everything I have, everything I own, belongs to God. Well, preacher, your house don't belong to God. Oh, yeah, it does. How do you think I pay for it? By God's grace. God's amazing. Amen. And do I want to live to see that thing paid off? Lord, no. I'd be 95 years old. Got enough aches and pains at 66. My mama couldn't remember that I've been on Medicare for the last year, and now she can't forget that just a week ago I turned 66. That's all I've ever heard. He's 66 now, y'all. Everybody she sees, he's 66. I'm like, my God, woman, what's wrong with you? I know it. You don't have to keep rubbing it in. I can't wait till she sees me turn 70, Brother Bob. I'll be in trouble. Amen. But that's okay. I still got my mama. But what I'm trying to get you to see in all this, we need each other, church. We need each other. I need you. Amen. There are some of you, you just need to get this. You got to have some help. And the greatest help you can get comes from Jesus. The greatest relationship you can have on this planet is with Jesus Christ. Amen? And the second greatest relationship you can have is with your family, if they're right with God. If your family's not right with God, you can't have a right relationship with them. And then a right relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So you need to understand that. You've got to make up your mind that you want the Holy Ghost more than anything in this world. I remember the night that I received the baptism at Ohio State University. All the kids in our youth group got saved but me. I wouldn't go up. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not ready to do this. I like having a good time. I like being a sinner. I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I was having fun. But all of a sudden, when all my friends start coming back and they're crying their eyes out, and that's, Marvin, it's real. It's real. And then Sammy Hall got up and sang that song, Now I Have Everything. Talk about ripping somebody's heart out, washing it under the blood and putting it back in. He did that all in one song. And I knelt there in that folding chair and I gave my heart to the Lord. I remember going forward the next night and I'm like, if I'm going to make this, I got to have the Holy Ghost. That's all there is to it. And so I went up there and I said, Lord, I need it. Bless their hearts. They meant well. I was on my knees. Next thing I know, I was on my back praying with my hands lifted up. I had one beat me in the chest. Hold on, brother. You're almost there. You know, give up. I didn't know where to give up, hold on, hang up, let loose, didn't know what to do. All I know, I needed the baptism, and I wasn't leaving that place till I got it. And in the midnight hour, they'd already told us to come. They had to come close the gym. And the guy that was running it for us said, you can't do that. And the custodian said, what do you mean I can't do that? I got the keys. He said, yeah, but we have young people that are this close to getting the baptism. And the man looked at him and he says, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah. How long you need? He said, till they get it. He said, here's the keys. See me in the morning when you want to open up. And they stayed there well after midnight. But guess what? Everyone that came to receive left full. What they were saying to God is, I have to have it. If I'm going to make it in 2019, if I'm going to be on fire for God 7 days a week, 365 days a year, I've got to be full of God more than I've ever been before. Amen. Remember, one cup, that's cool. But when you get all in it, that's even better. Amen. You ain't got no space for no goofiness. You ain't got time for the devil's mess. Amen. Step five. Oh, I like this one. You got a hunger for the Holy Ghost. Now, how many of you are hungry right now? It's 5 minutes till 12. You hungry. Billy is always hungry. Adam, did you raise your hand that you were? You didn't. Hey, take the boy out to eat this afternoon. I promise you, he will eat you under the table. Amen. I took him to Applebee's the other night for some work he'd done for me. And we ordered. All Applebee's going to go broke while they got this thing on. I'm going back again this week. All you can eat riblets, chicken tenders, and shrimp. And I didn't waste time on the tenders. I tore up the shrimp and the riblets because I knew they cost more money than them old cheap tenders. And you know what? We had a good time. We had good fellowship. But have you ever been so hungry and ate that you felt like you couldn't get full? And you eat one more bite? And then all the way home, you're telling your wife, oh, my God, what have I done? I feel miserable. Well, can I tell you something? What you need to do is get so full of the Holy Ghost that the devil feels miserable hanging around you. Amen. I remember when Wade and my son were at youth camp. And many years ago, wasn't it, Wade? Probably over 20-some years ago. And they first had their encounter with God and the Holy Spirit. And I watched that in the youth camp there. Everything, the altar was full of hundreds of young people seeking God. It touched my heart. And I'll never forget, one guy come up, he said, "Marvin, it's Friday night. These kids need to stop doing what they're doing. They got to get over to the gym and eat pizza and share their friend balloons and all that stuff." I looked at him, I said, "Go eat it all yourself. I think you can handle it pretty good. These kids want spiritual food. They need spiritual food because you don't know what they're going to go home to when they leave here." You see, some of them grew up in houses of prostitution. One little girl from Fayetteville used to love me and my wife to death, and she'd say, "I am so thankful y'all always take time with me year after year," because she said, "When I leave here, I know I got enough of God that I can survive for another year living in hell with my family." I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will help you live in dire circumstances. It'll help you live where the darkest night could fall. It'll help you keep on keeping on. Amen. That's what we need. We need to be so hungry for it that we can't get enough of God. But what's happened in our churches, we're more concerned about making people feel good than feeling God. I don't think I've ever made that statement, but it's true. We're so consumed about making everybody feel good. You know, in some of our churches, it's sad to say, I call them, They're fog machines. I call them smog machines. You can go into some of our churches, you think you're in a concert, in a club somewhere. And can I tell you why they do all that? People say, "We're trying to reach the youth." Wade, do you remember what reached you at youth camp? It was the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was seeing other young people being touched by God. I don't need no fog and no smog and no strobe light over my head. No dance party light revolving around my head. All I need is the glory of the Lord to show up in the house of God. Amen. That's what will draw people, is the presence and the move of God. To get them hungry. The word says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness," because they're not going to be filled. That's not what it says. It says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? In other words, if I hunger for it and I thirst for it, guess what? God's my father. My dad never turned me down for anything that he knew was good for me. If he thought something was bad for me, he'd say no. But if I wanted something and he knew it was good for me, he would see to it that it was accomplished. So you got to do what? You got to be saved. You've got to be sanctified. You've got to ask. You've got to believe. And then you have to hunger. Here's the toughest one of all. You've got to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. It's tough to do. What do you mean, preacher? Because if you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get it. It means that you yield your body, your mind, your tongue to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift just like salvation is. A lot of people don't understand. The Holy Spirit is here this morning, by the way. He's here. What you felt today was Him tugging at your heart. You might be here in a backslidden state, and you're thinking, "I wish to God that man had quit preaching. I got to get out of here." Well, guess what that is? That's the Holy Spirit trying to get you to turn away from sin. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you that you know you're not where you need to be with God. The Holy Ghost is a gift just like salvation. But I've learned something. And Tommy and Ashton are going to get a kick out of this, I can tell. Don't you tell nobody I said it. Are you ready? Church of God's been in existence for over 130-some years, right? But you know what? In that 130-some year period, guess how many doctorates we have in pulpits today? More than any other time in history. Now, I'm all for education. I'm glad y'all are going through the training. I want you to continue, and they will. They'll continue studying and learning, and Jason will, when time allows for him to go forward in his ministry. But I want you to understand something. You can have all the letters behind your name you want, But if you deny the power of the Holy Ghost, you ain't got nothing but paper on the wall. Amen. One of the former pastors of this church, matter of fact, the man that followed me when I left in 95, come up to me, Brother Gwynn, I'm ready to come preach for you. I said, you are? Why? He says, I got a doctorate degree. And he said, I'm ready to come preach for you. I said, can I ask you a question? He said, what? I said, did it teach you how to preach? I said, because last time I heard you weren't doing too good. But Gwen, that was mean. But it was the truth. I don't care what degree you have behind your name. The anointing of God makes all the difference in the world. One of the greatest men of God I ever met and had privilege to know, and I looked at him as a spiritual father, was Reverend Dewey Wright. Anna, how much education did he have? Fourth grade. Pastored a church in Castle Hayne, built that church. Pastored other churches, but was one of the most successful pastors with a fourth grade education. But guess what? When you met him, you loved that man. Amen. And when he was dying, I said, Brother, I said, I need something you've got. And he grinned. And I said, I need the love and compassion for souls, the lost, that you have. I need you to pass that mantle on to me. And he went like this. I'll never forget it. Never said a word. And I bent down and he kissed me on the cheek. It's done. Just like that. I walked away feeling different than I had ever felt in my life. And God had birthed in me a love for people that I couldn't explain. I couldn't understand. I couldn't even begin to fathom. But it helped me to love the unlovable. You see, so many times we have our prejudices and we'll say, we'll accept this person in church, but not that one. I want to tell you something, friend. I'm thankful for those that come through our doors. I don't care what color they are. I don't care how educated they are. I don't care what kind of car they drive. All I care about is they love and want to serve the same God that I do. Brother Harvey's in Texas. He taking his family on a 2-week vacation. I said, can you adopt me this week? You know, me and Sister Jill, just adopt us. We'll go with you. And he said, yesterday he wrote me. He failed a test that he needed to pass here in North Carolina. So he's going to spend some time with Brother Massengill when he gets back. He said, there's just something I need to learn. Brother Massengill's got that knowledge and he's willing to share. That's amazing to me. But he said, my wife asked me, she says, what is it with this guy? He says, what do you mean? This pastor friend of yours, where you're going to church in Wilmington. I've never heard you talk about a man of God like you talk about him. He says, you don't get it. This guy loves everybody. He loves everybody. It don't matter if it's one of my workers that can't speak a word of English. He walks up and hugs them and tells them he loves them in the Lord. It don't matter who they are. Don't matter what they look like. If they got tattoos from their head to their feet, it just don't matter to him. Said he called me late at night knowing the next day I'm taking a test. And he said, look, you're not answering the phone and that's okay. I get that you're studying. But I'm going to pray for you. And he prayed the next 5 minutes, ate up all my time on my answering machine. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we've got to care. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It makes you care about people. So, preacher, if I do all them five things, I'm going to get it? No. You got to learn the sixth one, how to yield. Now, this is where I'm going to get you. How many times you been in service? God's told you to do something. Anybody? Whether it be to give a piece of money or to pray or to sing or do whatever. And how many of you didn't do it? We all have. You see what happens? I used to watch Wade. I'll pick on Wade a little bit this morning. I have to take out to eat to make up for all this today. But I used to watch Wade and Sonia and different ones grip the backs of the pews. To where I could see their knuckles turn white under conviction. under conviction. I'm glad we still have a church where people can come and feel conviction. A lot of churches, they don't. And they just keep going on their way. But you've got to listen to something. You've got to learn to yield to Him. It says in Romans 12:1, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Are you ready for this? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It also says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind. You got to get yourself out of the way. I remember I had kind of gotten lukewarm, and I was at Mom and Dad's church growing up, and I never forget. Now, this is going back in time, y'all, about 40-some years. You remember when bell-bottom trousers were the thing? Amen. Young people are like, what in the world is he talking about? They looked like bells on the bottom of your legs. I had some of the big flared kind. You know, Herman's Hermits and the Beatles made them things popular. Amen. Back then, I was skinny. I could get away with wearing bell-bottom slacks. My mama had bought me a pair. They were gray with a white, real light white pinstripe by that far part all the way down. And I had gotten tired of just going through the motions. I wanted God to refill me for service. Now, I know you young people ain't got a clue what I'm getting ready to talk about now. The carpet was made out of wool. You know why they quit making carpet out of wool? It didn't never wear out. That carpet had been down in our church till they built the new one, and they finally ripped it up to get something to match. But it never wore out. Never wore out. It was tough stuff. So they quit selling it. They weren't selling enough carpet. Quit selling the good stuff. Now they got this stuff wears out every 10, 15 years. But I remember, I'm like, I ain't going up there and pray today. I got my bell bottoms on. I am not messing up the crease in these slacks for nobody or nothing. But all of a sudden, guess what showed up? The Holy Ghost. And young people in our youth group were, oh, man, they were getting refilled and on fire, you know. And I'm like, I'm never going to hear the end of this because they're all going to be telling me how blessed they are. And I got to listen to them talk about how great their relationship with God is. And I didn't really want to feel that. You know, we get that way sometimes because we're human. But all of a sudden, when this one brother started dancing in the spirit, I'm like, whoa, dude, I need to have some of that. And I started up the center aisle, all dignified with my bell bottoms on. The fourth pew, I'll never forget it. The Holy Spirit just knocked the mess out of me. And I went down to my knees and I slid into the altar. Got refilled like I needed to. Got up and looked at my knees, and there were two holes burnt in the knees of my slacks. I was not a happy camper. All the way home, I fussed at Mama. It was her fault, you know. I said, Mom, can you believe this? She said, I think I know where I can take them to get them fixed. I said, really? Two holes? How are they going to fix it? And she took them to the cleaners, a kid that I grew up with. He played guitar in my group. His dad owned a whole chain of cleaners, and they did sewing. And she took them into them. They said, oh, we can fix that. They cut some stuff out of the hem of them and wove it into the knees. You could not tell it. But I want to tell you something. Those were not my praying pants ever again. You know why? Because every time I knelt, they had sewed those holes up with fishing line. You ever kneel on a wad of knots made of fishing line? It's not pleasant. And every time I get down to pray, God would remind me of my pride and say, look, isn't it easier just to serve me and not have to worry about your pride? You've got to learn to yield. So as the musicians come today, I want you to think about it. If you're unsaved, you can get saved this morning before you leave this house. If you need sanctified, set apart, you can ask God to sanctify you and set you apart. Amen? And then if you're willing to ask God for the Holy Ghost, maybe you already have had that experience, but it's been a long time since you've let Him rule. Then you need a refilling. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. And then you've got to believe that it's for you. God's no respecter of person. No respecter of person. I had a young lady when I was state evangelist for North Carolina. It was in Greenville, North Carolina. First week. The place was packed out. People were getting healed. Miracles were happening. And this one girl, she was of another faith. She knew she was saved. But I'll never forget, she came to the altar. And something in my spirit told me, she's here to challenge you. And I'm like, okay, God, you need to explain that. She's saying within herself, as you're getting ready to pray for her, if the Holy Ghost is real, when he lays his hand on my head, according to Scripture, she said, I better get it, or it ain't real. I'm like, whoa. So she comes up, her and two friends, and both those girls were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They had brought her to the revival. And I went to pray for her, and as I did, my hand never hit her head. She went out like a light on the way down, speaking in another language. When she got up, an hour later, she testified to the church. I did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought it was of the devil. And she said, my friends have been telling me all along, it's real. He's real. He can change your life. He can make you be a bold witness. She said, now I got to go home and explain this to my mom and dad. Guess who came the next night? Mom and dad. Because their daughter had never talked to them about the Lord. They were unsaved. And they gave their heart to Christ because of her witness. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll give you a witness. Would you stand with me today? I want to ask you this morning, do you want him? Do you want the fullness of the Holy Ghost? I love him with all my heart. He's the reason I make it today. First of all, we're going to deal with number one. I want to ask you today, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know him? If you don't know Jesus this morning, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down, first of all, to accept Christ. We're going to pray with you the sinner's prayer and believe together that God will save you. God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that you can seek sanctification. You can seek and be hungry and believe that you're able to receive. You can yield to him. You see, I've seen some people, the very moment they get saved, get sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Someone says, why is that possible, Pastor? Very simply, God knows what that person has to deal with. I believe that with all my heart. God knows the hell they might be living in at home. And he knows it's not enough just to save them, to get them to heaven. He says, I need them to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that they can live and function in this world here right now. Father God, I've preached my heart out this morning. And I'm asking you, God, to search the heart of every man and woman in this building today. Are they truly saved? Or are they going through the motions? Are they trying to deceive others? God, if you would just speak to them to come to this altar and give Jesus their life right now. Give everything they are to him right now. Would you do that, God? If there's just one, God, speak to that one today to come home and come to Jesus. I'm not going to wait long because I want to get about the Father's business. But if you're lost, now's the time to let him find you. He knows where you're at. You're not lost to him. He knows exactly where you're standing right now. All right. If you're here today and you've been born again and you know that you need the Holy Ghost power in your life and you want to receive it, I want you to step down.